certain things to be done. And in the midst of opening that door, God works upon the people, because you see, He will not allow anything of flesh to be lifted up. God wants all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. And I know we as fleshly people, we can get in the midst of wanting that glory and wanting that attention and wanting that reverence. But God is saying that we need to refuse that thing, put the border as we look to Him, that border of protection, which is the blood of Jesus, and say, Father, all glory, all honor, and all power needs to be towards Him. But the thankfulness of our spirit towards Him. When was the last time you said, Lord, thank you for saving my soul? If it wasn't for that and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross to bring salvation to us, where would we be? You know, every one of us in here has children. When a child is thankful to you, what does that do to your heart? Huh? Well, it makes you feel, it just does something in you, huh? When a child will come and say, you know, Dad or Mom, thank you for buying me lunch, you know, or thank you for letting me use this or that, or thank you for coming with me to my doctor's appointment, or thank you for giving me this extra money, thank you for helping me with my utility bill, or thank you, Dad or Mom, for just being there for us. What does that do to your heart? Well, can you imagine what it does to God's heart? When we say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. What it does on the inside. But now, let's look at on the opposite side too. What happens to your heart and my heart when a child takes it for granted, the things that they have? I mean, they just, you know, they come in like they deserve the red carpet to be rolled out in front of them, or they deserve whatever, you know. And we want, they all smiling now. We all want to do good to our children. That's not, we want, and God says, you know, as much as you want to do good to your children, how much more does God want to do good to us? But when we see a child start to take advantage of our kindness and our goodness towards them, what do? We start to what? Restrict and hold back till they learn to be grateful. And we might tell them a few things, you know, you need to look into this area and be grateful. You know, whatever. But it turns our hearts kind of away from them a little bit. Not that we don't love them, and we dearly love them and care for them. But the outward things of possessions and earthly things, we start to restrict and even take back some things till they learn that lesson. Even with God, people, we can be self-centered, and we can, can you close that door, Andrew? Or I don't know what happened. Okay. That's okay. But we can get self-centered, and we look at self, and we take for granted the things of God. Look, just as this morning, as the Spirit of God just came into this place, people, we can take for granted the things of God. And say, well, it's going to come, whatever, you know. And not be at all and thankful to Him. I know the Scripture says when He is lifted up, He will draw all men unto Him. When He is lifted up, the Spirit of God will come in. But we can take advantage of the things of God, and we should never be that way. Now, you might say, well, how do we solve that? By being thankful. And always keeping our eyes upon Him and Him alone. by always keeping our eyes upon what he did and telling him, thank you. You know, boy, there's a lot. I'm kind of getting off track, but that's okay. That's okay. God knows what we need. We need to stay in a constant mode of thankfulness towards him. And I know you might say, well, why are you, well, I just felt the Lord just in that direction. And I know Thanksgiving is Thursday. But stay in the mode of thankfulness. Lord, thank you. You know, thank you for my spouse, Lord. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my job, Lord. Thank you for my church. Thank you for the people. Thank you, Lord, for your pastors. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, thank you for the food that we have, Lord. My God. You know, I've heard stories. My grandmother has told me stories. She's passed away many, many years ago. Probably about 18 years ago, she passed away at 80-something years of age. She lived in Lafayette, and they went through the Great Depression time. And I remember her telling us stories how her and my grandfather and their children had to go in soup lines. They tried to do everything they could for food. And how they had to go in these lines. And she'd talk about how it was kind of embarrassing. You know, because you had to stand there and wait on the generosity of other people to give you soup. I mean, that's why they called it soup lines, because that's what it was, basically. Soup and a piece of bread and maybe a little bit to drink something. That was it. That's what they had. But thank God they had that. And how she was so thankful, you know, for getting that. Getting that. Because if they could eat that one meal, they could save what they had some and use it for other times when they weren't serving it. And how grateful she was. And, you know, and at the end of her life, I mean, you know, that had been gone, you know, and there was plenty, plenty of food. But you see, we don't know, I don't know, maybe a little bit, but in most aspects, we don't know how hard it is for some people even today to have the food that is needed. But our hearts should always be thankful towards our God. You know, the children of Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt, they started to murmur and complain because they didn't have water. They started to murmur and complain because they didn't have meat to eat. And they started to murmur and complain so much that they just started saying, I wish we were back in Egypt. Eating at least the leeks and the garlics that we once had. Now that's sad. And God would miraculously come and tell Moses what to do. And Moses, for the most part, would obey. God gave them the water. God gave them so much meat that it got them sick. I mean, he had them come in. We should always thank God for the things that we have. From what we drive to where we live, the money we have, thank you, Lord, because it could be taken away in an instant. But it's because of the hand of God that is upon our lives that God sustains and makes and moves upon us like never before. Giving thanks was an important part of the Israelite culture. I want you to turn to Psalms 92, please. Psalms 92. Psalms 92. Psalms 92. Let's start reading at verse 1 to 5. Giving thanks was an important part of the Israelite culture. It says this, It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praise unto your name, O Most High, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Faithful is he, huh? Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp and the solemn sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works, and your thoughts are very deep. Look at the first part. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. What God was trying to show the Israelites is this. You need to give thanks. It is a good thing to give thanks. And we see the works of the hands of our God. And he even says, as we give thanks, that he will show us his faithfulness towards us. His faithfulness towards us. I know many of us want to say, oh Lord, should we be thankful for this job that we have? Yes. Thank God for the job you have. You may not like it right now, but thank God. And honestly, when you start to thank God, you're putting your eyes upon him and him alone, and your eyes are not upon the job anymore, but it's upon him. And he changes things in our hearts and in our lives towards that job because our eyes are upon him. But it says, give thanks, for it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. It is good to give thanks. Now, he was telling this to the Israelites. Israelites, give thanks unto me for what I can and what I want to do in your heart and in your life, and how I want to lead and guide you. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Verse 30, it says, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. What the Bible is saying is this to the Israelites. We're to stand every morning and what? Thank God and praise him. Because you see, as we are praising him, we thanking him for what he has done and for what he will do. And what it does is it helps us to focus our eyes physically and spiritually upon him and him alone, to thank him and praise him every morning and even at every evening. What would happen is, and you can read it in the text and in the commentary part, every morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now this is for the children of Israel. Every morning at 9 o'clock, as the morning sacrifice was taking place, it says the praise and worshipers and people that would worship would come out and praise God. 9 o'clock in the morning. What he was saying is, Israelites, keep your eyes upon me and not the certain situations that are going on. Israelites, keep your eyes upon me. At 3 o'clock, when the evening sacrifice would take place, the people would come, the worshipers and the praisers, and they would worship and praise God at 3 o'clock in the evening, in the afternoon. What God was saying is, look, people, Israelites, keep your eyes on me in the morning, thank me and praise me, and keep your eyes in the evening upon me, and thank me and praise me. You see, God knew, because certain scenarios and things were going to happen, that he needed to portray to them that they needed to keep their eyes upon him and him alone. And I know, people, it's hard sometimes. It's hard to keep your eyes upon the Lord. I tell you what, I know it. As a pastor, I know it. It's hard for us sometimes. Looking at certain situations, saying, Lord, we know you're faithful. Lord, you will not fail us. You will not forsake us, Lord. God, I know that. I know it. But you see, a lot of times what God is doing as he's working on our hearts and lives, he's helping us not to look at certain things. He's helping us not to lean upon the arm of the flesh, saying we can get it done. No, without the presence of God, without us looking towards him, We cannot get the work done, but we have to rely upon Him and Him alone. And He gets the job done so that, you know what? He gets the praise. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. Because let me tell you something here. A firm foundation, every storm can come. And it will stand, people. A solid foundation, but a foundation of sand, it will not stand when the storms of life rise up. You want to know why so many churches and their pastors are failing? And let me tell you, not just failing physically, I'm not talking about, but failing morally in their hearts and in their lives, and things we don't even know, is because of the foundation has not been laid right. And it has been built upon the arms of flesh, getting things done and doing it ourselves and not letting the Spirit of God move like He wants to move, and building that firm foundation on the Word of God, on the presence of God, on the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you, it will fall. It will fall. We need to give thanks and praise unto Him in the morning and in the evening, people. You know, sometimes, just throughout the day, I'll just say, thank you, Lord, for who you are. Sometimes I'll just say, Lord, I know you're the great God Jehovah, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and now Joseph. And Lord, I just say, thank you, Lord. Sometimes I'm able to kneel, sometimes I can't. You know, for whatever reason. Not that I don't want to, but you can't just kneel in the middle of the road. I mean, you know, come on. Then they'll call people to come get you. But you can say it. God, you know, God is looking at the heart. But thanking Him for who He is, who He is. Every morning and evening, the Levites sacrificed and an offering to the Lord in order to keep the people focused on their true provider in giving thanks to God. You see, that's why God says, get in the Word of God. That's why He says, look, people, search me and know my thoughts. Search me and find me. You know why? Because this is this thing, this, and I hate to say thing because that's not right. This word written by the Holy Ghost, penned down by Jews that God ordained, this word will keep our path straight, and it will keep us focused upon Him and Him alone. Keep us focused upon Him and not swerving to the left or to the right, but it will show us the narrow path towards heaven and what He can and what He wants to do. Searching it out like never before. Why does God say it's good to give thanks? Number one, it honors Him. Excuse me. Number one, it honors Him. Why should we give thanks to the Lord? Number one, it honors Him, people. And that's who we're here to honor. Number two, it refocuses our attention. That's why God, in the Old Testament, with the Israelites, had them sacrifice at 9 and 3 o'clock, and the praises would come forth at 9 and 3 to keep the Israelites focused upon who? God. And even with all that God did, they still, their focus got off on every other thing that possibly imagined, that you could possibly imagine. God is trying to get our focus back on thanking Him and honoring Him as we come into His presence in the morning, as we come into His presence in the evening. It keeps our focus on Him. Because you see, the enemy is out there, and he will try to rise up or raise up things that will draw our attention away from thanking Him, away from praising Him, away from knowing Him, and draw our attention to the left or to my right and my left. And God is saying, look, when you lift me up, your eyes will go to me. When you give me the praise and honor, your eyes will go to me and it will not go towards the problem or the things that are happening. Now, you're not denying the problems. You're not denying what's happening on the outside. But your focus is not on those things. Your focus is on what God can do. Your focus is on thanking Him that He has everything set and planned for your life, and you're thanking Him for who He is. In it releases us from anxiety. You can find that in Philippians. It refreshes our relationship with Him, my God, as we thank Him, and it reinforces our faith in Him. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. I am so excited. I know it's not even Thanksgiving yet, but I am so excited about next year. Because I know some things that God is going to do. I am so excited. In time. What the Spirit of God will do. My God, I'm so excited. Because I know it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Look at verse 8. And this is a familiar story about Moses and God bringing a great victory for them. It says this in verse 8 of chapter 17. Then came Amalek and fought Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua, verse 13, and Joshua discomfited or overcame Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Here we see a great event that happened with Moses and Joshua. They knew they needed to fight against Amalek, and God said, okay, go out and fight them. Now let me tell you this, all before that, God would go out and fight the battle, and God would slay people and do many miracles. This was the first time, as they were coming out of the land of Egypt, that God spoke to them and said, now, you send men. You might say, well, why did God do that? Well, let me just share this with you. When a little baby is born, 100% of them can't walk. I mean, you know, we laugh because, you know, that's funny. You know, I can say 100% of them, when they're born, cannot walk. So, I mean, what can they do? They can cry. They can use the bathroom. They can suck a little bit, milk. I mean, those are kind of the basic things. That's all they can do. Well, just as the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, there wasn't much that they could do. They were infants in the things of God. Even though God had done mighty miracles of saving their lives and bringing them out of Egypt, and mighty miracles happened, still they were very, very small infants. And as time went on, God raised them up, and it was time for them to start fighting themselves. Now their faith was in Him, and He would go before them, and they had to follow what God said and how He said it so that victory would come in. And that's the same thing with us, people. God will, when we first got saved, God will let us go through things, and He will do things and take care of. And still He takes care of us, but He expects a little bit more of us as we get older in the Lord. Have we ever, and I know we probably all know people, they got saved, and they're still in the infant stage. Huh. I know that. It seems like they've never grown up. Now, if that frustrates us, how much more do you think it frustrates God? You can't look at them cross-eyed because they get offended or something happens. You can't look at them and you can't, you know. It's sad. We have to grow up in the things of God and let the Spirit of God move in our hearts and move in our lives, letting God move in us. But here we see God had brought them to a place where God said, yes, Moses, this is what I need for you to do. Get Joshua, who was next to be in line to be their leader, to get men and go out and fight them. And Moses go up to the mountain with Aaron and Hur. Now, they're human beings like us. Can you imagine? Moses might have said, God, you sure? You sure that's how you want to do it? You've always done it this way. You've always done it this way. You always did it yourself. You sure you want us now to take some of these reins and go out and do it? And God says, Moses, didn't I tell you what to do? Remember, you can never put God in a box and say, God, you have to move this way or you can't move. Or God, you have to do it this way or it won't happen. Now, we have to always remember he will not override his word, and he will work within the confines of the word of God. But we can't put God in a little box and say, you have to do it this way. What? The creator of the world? The savior of the world? And Christians, a lot of people will say, God, you have to do it this way or it can't be done. No. God says he can do it however way he wants to. And he brought victory as Moses, can you imagine, was walking up that hill with Aaron and Hur. Now, he probably asked God, why do you want me to bring these two people? You know, God, I can do this on my own. But God said, bring these two guys with you. See, God knows the future of things. And his wisdom outweighs our wisdom. And he walks up there and he looks. And you know, Moses probably was looking at the battle because he was in a valley, people. The valley. And he was on top of that mountain. And I'm sure at times he would raise his hands with the rod of God in his hands. And he would praise his God when he would see Joshua slay one of those guys. When he would see the God's people beating up the enemy. He would raise his hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not knowing, as Moses would raise his hands in victory with the rod in his hand, that he didn't realize that when that would happen, that victory was happening to the Israelites at that time. You know, we read the story and we think, oh, but he knew all this. No. People, he didn't know all that at that instant. We don't know if Aaron and Hur said, Moses, have you noticed that when your hands are up and the rod of God is in your hand and you're looking to God, that we win? And when your arms come down, it seems like the enemy starts to win. And Moses said, what, Aaron? Or what, Hur? What you said? He said, well, I need to do what I know will bring victory. I need to do my part. And it says that he started to lift his hands because he noticed what was happening, either from himself or from his friends. And he lifted up his rod in thankfulness unto God, thanking him. Even though the battle was raging, even though battles are raging on the inside of us and on the outside of us, people, we need to keep the battle of praise, the battle of worship unto our God, no matter what's going on the outside. No matter what's going on the inside. And I know, hey, people, sometimes it's not easy. I'm not saying you have to shout it out, because sometimes, honestly, I don't feel like shouting. I want to just sit there and cry, people, honestly. Say, Lord, what's going on? But you see, that's not what God says. God says, look to Him. And it might mean just a little Lord, I worship you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I honor you. And I tell you what, as you keep on, something will happen on the inside of your heart. Your problem that was this big becomes this big in the eyes of God. In our eyes is this big. In God's eyes is nothing to God. And He can solve it. He can change it. He can change it to help us to have victory in our hearts and in our lives. And it says that as He would raise it up, victory was there. As He praised His God, thanking Him for victory. And every time He let it down, they would start to lose. But His arms got tired, and we know the story. And He says, Aaron and Ur, I need your help. See, God knows what Moses needed. God knew what the Israelites needed. People, God knows what we need more than what we know we need. People think they know what they need. Christians think they know what they need. And they search out for things that they think they need. And all of a sudden they realize what they needed was already at home. Already at home. But they looked everywhere else for the answer. And the answer was already at home. And it says that Aaron and Ur got on the side of Moses and said, we'll help you. Now let me tell you, you ever try to raise up a rod or just keep your hands up for a long period of time? That's rough. That's rough. That's rough. Try to keep your arms up for 30 minutes as you worship the Lord and you'll see. It's like, oh Lord, I need some help. We'll all gather hands and okay, let's help each other. But victory, you see people, victory will come as we thank God. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Because you see, it keeps our eyes focused upon the cross of Calvary and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. You know, for time's sake, I'm not going to read it. But you remember the 10 lepers? The 10 lepers? Leprosy is something that people had that would affect the skin on their bodies. And they had to go and show themselves in the Old Testament and even the New Testament part. Whenever a person had leprosy, they had to stay away from people like 100 feet away from them, from any form of society. So they would go to, the Israelites or the community would send these people out of certain cities and they had their own place. Well, Jesus, if you can read in Scripture, when He was going to a certain place, He decided to divert and go to another city on His way to, I think, Samaria or something like that. And He knew what was happening. They had these lepers there. And as He's walking, He sees them. And they start calling out to Him. Because you see, they heard about what Jesus was doing. They heard about the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. And they thought to themselves, He can heal us. Because you see, they were thrown out. Can you imagine if you're a woman or a man and you have leprosy and you're thrown away from your children, your spouse, and all family? And all you can rely on is all the other lepers there and maybe the kindness of people as they come and throw food to them because they couldn't work. They couldn't do anything because they couldn't be by certain people. They couldn't be by people that were not did not have leprosy. And so here Jesus is walking through and He sees these lepers and He didn't say nothing. And they start calling out to Him. And He looks at them because they got His attention. And they asked Him, you know, for healing or heal our bodies or whatever. And He looks to them and He says, look, it doesn't even say that He prayed for them. It doesn't say that the Father or Jesus stopped and said, Lord, heal these lepers. Or I command this leprosy to leave their bodies. He didn't do any of that. He just looked at them when He saw the concern of their lives and they were looking to Him. He looked at them and He said, now go show yourself to the priest. See, you could only go show yourself to the priest if you had no leprosy anymore. And he would look at you and he'd declare you clean clean from the outside, and he would say, now you can go back into society. And so when he said that, the power of God hit those 10 lepers, and they were instantly clean because they started to go to the priest. They believed what he said. Faith healed them. It says only one out of 10 came back, thanked him, kneeled before him and thanked him, and said, thank you for healing me. And he says something basically like, where are the other 9? See, we can be like 9, the number 9, or we can be like the number 1. The number 1 came and thanked God. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Now, honestly, that one that came back, other things happened in his life. Because he got the attention and he came up close to Jesus. And Jesus spoke to him some things. He was blessed not once, but twice. The other 9 could care less. And hey, look. When you have leprosy for years and you can't be with your family, and you can't be around society anymore, and you're running to the priest for him to declare you clean. Honestly, we might have been like the 9, just saying, hey, let me get to my family. I want to see them. I don't know. I'm not trying to belittle them. What I'm saying, we might have been in that place, you know. But only one had the common courtesy to come and say thank you. I know we're in a time of thanksgiving. Let's keep our eyes on Him. And all the festivities that are going on. And hey, there's nothing wrong with getting together and eating and eating and eating. Nothing wrong with it. We might have to buy a little more clothes, but that's okay. You know, but one day that's okay. It's okay. But thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for the food He gives you that day and all year. Thank Him for leading and guiding you. Let's be like the Israelites. Take that little perspective of thanking Him in the morning and thanking Him in the evening. Because it keeps our focus on Him. Keeps our focus on Him. We can lose sight sometimes, but God reins us back in and helps us to be like that number one, only one that came back to thank Him. I don't know if he came before he went to his family. I don't know. Or after. But I don't know. But anyway, he came back thanking God for what he has done for him. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Amen. Amen. Father, I appreciate you.